many believe God is greater today? Do you believe God is greater? Let me ask you again. How many believe God is greater? I hope that this series has been speaking to your heart and to your spirit as you're learning to say, God, you are greater than the things I'm facing in my life. He is greater. We believe that. We declare that. One more time. Let's say it together. He is greater. One more time. He is greater. One more time. He is greater. We believe that God is greater. Today I want to talk to you about something I've never really talked about this subject before, but I believe it's very relevant to today. Let's go ahead and talk about it. He is greater. God is greater than our loneliness. Research and study is telling us more than ever before in America that up to 70% of Americans today, at least once a week, are suffering with feeling lonely. It can happen for many reasons. Some people just, maybe they're feeling anxiety, they're feeling worried, they're feeling alone. Some maybe you're empty nesters. Some maybe you've gone through a divorce. Some maybe you've lost loved ones. Some of you are getting older and you're just like, man, I don't have many friends left. And so now for different reasons, we can feel the spirit of loneliness. And I believe it's something that we need to speak to because God never designed us to feel alone. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite of what he wants us to feel. He doesn't want us to feel like we're alone, never. He wants us to know that he is with us, and he is giving us the strength and direction we need. So today I want to really hone in onto this and talk about this loneliness and how we can battle it. See, you can be in a crowd of people and still feel lonely. You can be in a crowd of people and still feel lonely. You can be in a marriage and still feel lonely. It doesn't make a difference on being around a bunch of people. A lonely spirit can grab you and isolate you and drag you back. Now look what Psalmist said. I love this text. We're going to spend most of our time right here in Psalms 139. This chapter is great. Let's start off by reading verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know some things about me, right? No. What's it say? Everything. One more time. Let's say it together. You know everything. One more time. You know everything. God knows everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. See, today it says that God knows everything about us. God knows everything about us. The scripture even teaches us later that we see that God even knows the number of hairs upon our head. God knows every minute detail about us. He knows every minute detail about our DNA, our makeup. He knows every thought we have. He knows every thought we battle against. He knows every temptation we deal with. He knows depression. He knows the anxiety. He knows the worry. He knows the excitement. He knows the heart. He knows the dream. He knows the vision. I mean, God knows every detail about us. Let me put it another way. God really gets you. God understands you. God, today, I believe that one of the most greatest things today that we can experience today, the best gift that God has for us, besides his sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, after that, I believe the number one gift that we have today from God is his presence. God's presence is the thing that we take for granted. And I believe today we don't understand it fully. We don't always comprehend it fully. We don't always appreciate it the way we need to. We don't always walk in it the way we need to. We don't always acknowledge it. And when you don't realize that God's presence is for you and with you, then you can feel isolated. You can feel lonely. And that's a trick of the enemy. He wants you to isolate yourself. And so today we're talking about this God's presence. And so how do we experience God's presence? You know, all the way from the Bible, from the very first thing we see in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, we see that God's presence was there in the garden, all the way through the whole Bible, to all the way to the book of Revelations, we'll find where God's presence is there. God's presence is there. It's our gift to us. It's God's presence. You are not alone. Let me say it again. God's gift to us is his presence. He didn't just leave us alone, but he sent his presence. I mean, the fact that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, the fact that he went away to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come back for us one day. We're going to be reunited with him. That alone is excitement enough. That alone enough is to be happy. That alone enough is to be joyful. But he didn't just do that. He left us and gives us daily his presence. It's the presence. He leaves us his presence today. And if you realize that and you tap into that, it really helps you fight anxiety. It helps you fight depression. It helps you fight feeling lonely. So how do we do this? How do we experience more of God's presence in our life when I feel lonely? Number one, you got to learn to lean into God's presence. Start leaning yourself into God's presence. I love technology. I love our phones today. I mean, one of the greatest things as a parent is that all of our phones are synced together. And I can go to the Find My Phone app, and I can track where my children are 24/7. Isn't that a great thing? How many parents say that's a good thing? Amen. Yeah, I'm just really thankful. How many parents agree? I'm really thankful they didn't have this when I was a kid. Some of you know what I'm saying. I'm really thankful. But my kids, they ain't that lucky. Their dad knows what's going on. He'd be watching what's happening. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, I'm watching, and he'll tell me, hey, Dad, I'm going somewhere, and I'll be looking to see what's all going on. I'm like, you told me you was going here, but you're on the opposite side. No. So I'll send him a text. Where are you going? What's going on? Oh, I had to go pick up a friend before I go. Okay, just making sure. Just letting them know. Dad's watching, right? Dad's watching. Well, you're sure going a long way around to get to where you told me you was going to go. What's up? You know? And so sometimes I believe that if we're not careful, we view God's presence the same way. It's kind of like this spiritual app. It's out there and it's watching us. And as soon as we get outside the boundaries of where we need to be, then God's presence is there to correct us and put us back. It's there as more of a punishment. It's there as more of overseeing us and correcting us. And we're just waiting to get those spiritual texts. All right, I messed up. All right, I'm out of the boundaries. And I want you to see that that's not the view of God's presence that he wants us to have. That's not the view of God's presence that he wants us to experience and to have about him. Today, you know, my kids, I mean, they see me there. And they're like, Dad, you're at Sonic. Bring me something to drink. They're watching me. They're like, I see where you're at. I can't just stop by and get a Sonic by myself, Tim. It cost me $20 now to stop at Sonic. Everybody's texting me, bring me something, bring me something, bring me something. I mean, and we see God's presence the same way. Come on, Dad, you know what I'm saying? The same way we see God's presence is waiting there. You know, hey, do this, do that. And I want you to experience the beauty of God's presence. I want you to know that God's presence was given to us to experience true relationship with him, that he is with us, and that he really, really gets us. See, God, today, I want us to rethink. The psalmist is really trying to get us to rethink how we see God's presence. He wants us to rethink how we see God's presence in our life. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He really gets you, and he really understands you. I remember one time in college, I had a roommate. He and I were just really got each other. I mean, to the point to where we didn't even have to say anything. We'd be in the room, we'd both look at each other and start busting up laughing because we both were thinking the same thing. We had the same reaction. We both seen things through the same kind of glasses, you know, things that nobody else would get, we got. And we didn't have to say anything. We just got each other. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool. We had a great relationship because he really understood me and we really got each other. And you know what? The opposite is just true as well, that when you're around people who don't get you, that's miserable, isn't it? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Be around people, you give the jokes, and they're like, crickets, you know, nothing's happening. They don't get any of your jokes. They don't get any of your stories. They just don't get you at all. I hate being around people like that. That drives me crazy. It drains me. But you know what? This is the great thing about God's presence is He understands us. He truly gets us. He made you. He understands how you tick. He understands how you think. He understands the struggles you have. He understands the way you see life. He understands that. He really, really does. And He really gets you. And so that allows me to say, God, when nobody else will get me, God, you get me. When nobody else understands me, God, you understand me. Look what it says now in verses 5 and 7 of Psalms chapter 139. He says, you go before me and you follow me. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. He says, I can't get away from God's presence. It is there. And I love this illustration. I love the way it's illustrated here. Pastor Tom, give me a hand this morning. Corey, give me a hand as well this morning. Come and help us here. Today, you know, this is the picture I want you to see. It says that God's presence, Pastor Tom, go ahead of me. It says, goes before me, and God's presence is also behind me and goes behind me and follows me. So maybe I have somewhere I'm trying to go. Maybe I've got a problem I'm trying to face. Before I ever get to that problem, it says God goes before me, and as I'm going behind me, pushing me, supporting me, got my back. Come on now. If God be for you, who can be against you? How is that possible? Because God's got my front and He's got my back. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good stuff. God's got my front and God's got my back. I just got to keep my eyes fixed on Him. And so as I go to where I'm going, who's following me? God's following me. Who's ahead of me? God's ahead of me. I get there. And when I get there, this is exciting. When I get there, I come before there. It says God places His hand upon me. He wants to bless me. He gives me blessing. He blesses me. He blesses me. He blesses me. See, today you don't have to be fearful of anything you're facing, because when you walk in the middle of that fear, you are not alone. You're walking in the blessing of the Lord. He's going before you and He's going behind you. Come on, someone give God a hand clap for that. Thank you, guys. This is not the first time He painted this picture. Think about it. He said the same thing in the 23rd Psalms. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So wherever I go, who's following me? Goodness and mercy. But He also said this. He goes, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How could He prepare a table unless He's there ahead of time, right? Before I ever get there, God's ahead of me, preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in the presence of anxiety, in the presence of loneliness, in the presence of depression, when I have people who are trying to destroy me, when I have things waiting on me, I can walk with confidence, because when I come to the Lord's table, that God's already prepared my seat at that table. I can sit among the things that want to take me out, but God, He is anointing my head with oil. He is laying His hand of blessing upon me. And not only that, He's got God following me with good and mercy in my life. I'm telling you, you are not alone. You are not alone. God's presence is with you. God's presence was with you. God's presence is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God's presence is with you. You are not alone. And so when you feel that spirit coming to attack you, you say, no, that is just a lie from the enemy. I am not alone. I mean, the very first thing God does in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, as soon as He creates man, it says that He creates man. He created them in what? His own likeness. And then what's He do? It says then He blessed them. Are you seeing the pattern? God created them, then He blessed them. It is God's design that He wants to bless you. He wants to be with you. My kids, they don't always get this concept. But sometimes I just want them to be with me so I can bless them. I just want to sit down with them, and I just want to give some wisdom, and I just want to do something nice for them. I just want to buy for their lunch, and I just want to take them out and do this, and I just want to do something nice for them. Why? Because I'm their dad, and I just want to bless them. And sometimes if they're not careful, they don't catch that. No. You don't realize, no, dad's wanting to bless you. And sometimes we do the same thing spiritually. We don't realize dad's wanting to bless you. Dad's wanting to be with you, not because he wants to correct you, but because he just wants to impart blessing upon you. He just wants to do favor in your life. He just wants to speak a blessing over you. He wants to call out the good things in your life. He wants to say, I believe in you. You're going somewhere. You got a purpose in your life. I see great things for you. I want to bless you in the presence of your enemies. When you see things attacking you, pick your head up. God is there blessing you. It's the presence of God. I've got to lean into it. I've got to be purposeful and say, no, I want to be in God's presence. His presence is not there tracking me like an app, trying to correct me when I step out of boundary. No, His presence is so much greater than that. It's there to empower me. It's there to bring me blessing. It's got my back. It's got my front. It's seating me in the presence of my enemy with blessing. Boy, that's a strong presence of the Lord. I want that presence. Do you want God's presence? Come on, turn your neighbor. We need God's presence. God wants to bless us. Look what it says here in Psalms 139, verses 8 through 12. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. Hey, if I go way down to the grave, you're there. If I ride with the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, there your hand will guide me. It's your strength that will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. He says, I can try to run, but I can't hide. Come on. I can try to run, but I can't hide. And I can tell you, I've been there in my life. There's been times in my life where I tried to run from God. Have you ever been there? You try to run from God. We think we're running from God, but how many know you can't run from God? His Spirit doesn't leave you. He's pursuing you. That's what I love about the song Reckless Love, because we talk about He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. There's times in my life I've been the one. I've been the one running. I've been the one trying to say, no, I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with God. And His love pursued me even in my darkness. His love pursued me. I was not alone. I thought I was alone. But it was in those darkest moments that He pursued me the most. It's His presence. I would feel His presence. I'd be somewhere I shouldn't be. I feel His presence. I try to do something I shouldn't do. I feel His presence. I think I was alone. I couldn't be alone because His presence would saturate my life. It was His presence that pursued me. It doesn't leave me. It's there. We are not alone. We lean into His presence. It's His presence. Lean into the presence of the Lord. We've got to learn to declare His presence. That's why every time we come together in worship, we're not here for a concert. We're not here for a show. We're not here for anything other than we want to seek the presence of God. I want the presence of God. I need it. You need it. But more important, there's people coming in who are thinking about suicide. There are people coming in. This is their last Sunday. There's people coming in. They need a hope. And when I bring the presence of God into this room and I increase it with my faith and my worship, I'm allowing that presence to saturate those that are walking in. We need it. People need it. We need the presence of God. If you don't ever touch the presence of God, if you never experience the presence of God, you don't know you need it. But I can tell you this, once you ever taste of the presence of the Lord, when you ever get a taste of it, you will thirst for more of it. You will hunger for more of it. You'll say, I want the real deal. I want the real thing. I want the presence of God in my life. I want it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need God's presence. I need God's presence in my life. So we see this happening here. Number two, write this down. We lean into God's presence, and then we reach out to God's people. Reach out to God's people. The first thing we see in the garden, it says that God says, it's not good that man be alone. I mean, that's the first thing God said. I don't know if he saw man running around with scissors, what he was doing, running to the garden, but he said, this is not good. All right, this is not good. Man doesn't need to be alone. And then we know he puts man asleep, and out of his side, he takes a rib, creates the woman. But before he ever creates the woman, what's the first thing God gives man? He gave him his presence. Think about that. He created man, he blessed him, and then he dwelled with him. His presence dwelled with him in the garden. Come on now. See, some of us get it mixed up. We want to seek after people. If I could just find me a husband, if I could just find me a woman of God. You know, how do I do that? Let me tell you, you get in God's presence and let God bring the person to you you need to be getting. No. We want to go outside. Some of you girls, you in God's presence, you love God's presence, and then you go out and you try to bring that guy back into God's presence. You must be God's will for my life. You're coming into the presence of God. I'm just saying, get in God's presence. Get in God's presence. Get in God's presence and let him bring to you the person he wants to bring to you. But look at the response now. So we see this happening. God creates woman. And look at Adam wakes up. Look at his first response. At last. Come on now. At last. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Revival breaks out in the garden. At last. Someone really get that hanky. At last. This one is bone for my bone, flesh for my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. God said it is not good for man to be alone. And I believe what he was speaking to was much more than a romantic, sexual, reproducing thing happening here. That was obviously going on here. But it was something greater to the heart of what he was really trying to say is that we were never created to be alone. We were created to be blessed of God. We were created to dwell in the presence of God. And we were also created to need each other. He knew that man needed the wife. And he knew that we needed families. And he knew we needed children. And he knew we needed to be connected to people. He knew that we needed extended family. He knew that we needed this. This is why he created us. And he knew this. He said, it's not good that he's alone. He needs community. He needs people with him. Even introverts need people. Extroverts need a lot of people. Introverts sometimes need one or two. But everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. Don't allow yourself to be isolated. See, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How does he do that in our lives? He's sneaky, isn't he? I mean, have you ever watched the documentaries about, you know, the sheep and the wolf? You ever seen those things out there? Because we're called the great shepherd to call his sheep. And it says that the wolf will be out there watching. You ever notice that the wolves never attack the middle of the pack? They wait for the one to stray off by themselves, don't they? To isolate themselves. The shepherd leads the sheep to the water. They're all staying together. Oh, one strays away. Oh, the wolf is, no. The wolf is coming. The wolf sees the one by himself. The wolf attacks the one by himself. I mean, this never happens by the one that's in the middle of the pack. It's always the ones that kind of isolate themselves and stray away. You see, if Satan can get you feeling lonely, even though the presence of God is there for you on a daily basis, even though God is affirming you, even though God wants to bless you, if he can get you your eyes off of that, well, God's only there to correct you. God's only there because he wants to punish you when you mess up. No one really likes you. We isolate ourselves back, we get back, and then we get ourselves alone, and that's when he'll jump on you. Boom. Loneliness, anxiety, depression. Suicidal thoughts. Things come to you. They come to you. Listen, we have got to be smart. Don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself from the flock. Jump square in the middle of the flock. jump right in with people. You need people. I need people. You need people. We got to learn to reach out to people around. We need close friends. And don't just reach out to anybody. Come on now. Connect yourself with people who will pull you up to a higher vision for yourself. Pull you up to a higher standard. People that will call you up to the great things in your life. People that will pull you up. Come on, connect to those kind of people who are going to support you, pray for you, who are going to be there. Say, listen, I pray for you, man. I understand. I'm here for you. Connect yourself. When the enemy gets us alone, I don't have a vision for my life. I can't see it. I think one of the greatest mistakes we make, I'm just trying to step back and just want to find God's vision for my life. And then we start isolating ourselves and we get back. No, we got to stay connected. We got to stay connected to what God wants us to do. Stay connected to his people. It's such a trick of the enemy. Let's make sure we stay connected to people. And number three, the last thing I want to give you today is we got to engage with God's purpose. You want to fight the lonely spirit, that God is greater. We lean into his presence. We reach out to God's people, not alone. And then we engage with God's purpose. I'm telling you, this is one of the strongest things you can do to fight depression, to fight anxiety, to fight loneliness, is when you get out of yourself and you help somebody else. I've seen people tell me this before. Well, I just stopped coming to church because I just wanted to kind of take a break and see if anybody would miss me. I wanted to see if anybody would notice if I was not there. I'm like, first of all, how old are you? That is spiritually immature. That is so dumb. Don't isolate yourself on purpose. Don't do that. No, what I'm challenging you today is when you feel those kind of thoughts coming to you, when you feel those kind of things happening in your mind, that should be a bell ringing off in your mind. Ding, 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 ding. I need to do the opposite. I need to engage now in God's purpose. I need to start serving somebody. It's all about me right now. I'm all worried about me, myself, and I. I've isolated myself. No one sees me. No one cares about me. No one's noticing me. And I'm isolating myself. No, I have those thoughts. I break out of that and say, no, I need to help somebody else. I need to connect with somebody else. I need to serve somebody else. Man, when you're going through things that are hard in your life, I challenge you. Start serving. You cannot serve in a preschool classroom and come out of there thinking, you know what? I'm just really down. They're going to hug on you. They're going to wrap their arms around your leg. They're going to smile at you. You just come out. You can't help it but getting all that loving. And you think you're there to help. I don't want to get up early. I got to get there with classes and I'm coming before church. And you get there and those kids are loving on you, smiling. All of a sudden you're feeling better about yourself. Your day is getting brighter. You're seeing yourself through their eyes. I mean, it just happens when I come and I shake people's hands and I smile at them and I greet them. When I come down and I give to somebody and I go a part of our go teams and part of our outreaches and I invest. When I bring my shoes and I leave them for somebody who could use them besides myself. When I get connected in a small group. When I get connected in places and I serve, I get the attention off of myself and I start doing somebody else. It's God's way of fulfilling me. And then my problems don't seem so big. I'm not focusing just on myself. I start serving other people. That's the way God designed us. God designed us this way. We got to realize that. One of the biggest solutions to fighting depression or loneliness is to serve somebody else. I'm telling you, it works. It works. It works because God designed us this way. Love God and love people. That's the way God designed. God, I love you. I want to be in your presence. God, I want to acknowledge your presence. God, I want to walk in your blessing. God, I know you're with me. You're going before me. You're going behind me. God, I love you. I am falling more and more in love with you. And I want to love people. I want to engage with people. We were in the process, the staff, over this summer. We're going to be putting together new connect groups and life groups that are going to be coming out. We'll be talking about those coming up as we end the summer months and going into the fall and back to school time. You're going to have a chance to be a part of these. I say get a part of them. Why? Because it's so important to your spiritual health. It's so important to your mental health. It's so important to your physical man, to your physical body. You need to be connected with other people and you need to be helping somebody else. Some of you are spending all this money on drugs, trying to make yourself feel better and anxiety. Listen, help somebody else. Get the attention off yourself. Learn to get out and do something for somebody. I'm telling you, it's the way God designed us. And when we do that, natural things are released in our mind, in our spirit, and we're releasing something, and God's giving back to us. I mean, it's awesome. I'm telling you, this is the way God designed us. And this is the problem. Moms, dads, listen to me. This is the problem. We're raising a generation of disconnected teenagers, disconnected children. Suicide rate is going through the roof, not only in this area, but across the nation. Why? They're connected like never before, right? You can have 24 media pages, social media pages. You can paint a picture, and they all do, you know. My life is so great. Look at this. I took 100 pictures with this one filter, finally got the great one here. My life is perfect. Look at this picture. It proves it. You know, I want the perfect boyfriend. I want the perfect body. I want the perfect job. I want the perfect vacation. I want the perfect car. I want the perfect house. I want the perfect kids. I want the kids to do this. And everybody's got a perfect life. No, they don't. They lie to you. They are lying. You're lying. I'm lying. We all lie on social media. We paint a better picture than what we really are. Come on, let's be honest. Let's just be real. It's just our natural tendency. We do that at times. We all fall there. And we're raising up a generation who no longer wants to sit down, have a conversation with anybody. Their conversation has to do with how many comments and how many likes they're getting. God help us. When we wonder why they're being saying, I'm not fulfilled. My life is not measuring up to that person's life. No one likes me the way everybody likes this person. No one, I don't get as many likes. I don't got this kind of house, this kind of boyfriend. And I'm unfulfilled. Life's not worth living. They're not connected. The greatest thing you can do, number one, is teach your children to hunger for the presence of God. When we're going to be in the house of the Lord, and we're going to go after the presence of God. Isn't it great to be in God's presence? Isn't it great to be in God's presence, man? Well, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to seek after God's presence in our life. We're going to connect with other people. You're going to connect. I'm going to have you involved in a youth ministry. I'm going to have you involved in children's ministry. We're going to get connected in life groups. We're going to get connected in connect groups. We're going to get connected and build relationships with people, even when it's out of our comfort zone, because we need it. I need it, and the person that's there is going to need me as well. And then we're going to serve. We're going to serve together as a family. Our family's going to serve. Our family's going to encourage you to serve. Encourage your children to serve. Encourage your teenagers to serve. Encourage your younger adults to serve. You do it by example. You serve. You serve with them and serve. Serve together. Why? Because the world's not all about me. It's about giving away. Loving God. Loving people. I'm teaching them to quit looking at everything about yourself and learn to see there's a bigger world out there that God wants me to have an impact in. And when I focus just on me and my wants, I can fall into the spirit of isolation. I can allow the spirit of loneliness to settle in. And those things are all bad in my life. But God, He knows everything about me. I can't run. He's there. Your presence is there. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the first, most important question that I can ask you today. If you hear and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's where it all starts, right there. A relationship with Jesus. It's the most important. We all give an account for that. Have I ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I ever confessed Him as my Lord and Savior? It's the most important thing you'll ever do, is to say yes to Jesus. His love, His grace is wanting to pour out to you, but it can only come when you first accept it and reach out and say, God, by faith, I believe in the power of what You did on the cross for me and my sins. Nobody's looking around but me, and we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. I want to make sure you have a chance today just to respond. If you hear and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But nobody looking at me. Can you just say, that's me today? I'm doing that in my heart today. I'm ready to do that. Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else want to join in? Thank you. Today's my day to accept Jesus Christ. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you as well, we'll say it out loud to help you along. Say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Give him a hand clap. Yeah, that's why we're here today. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. If you're here, you say, "Pastor, man, I can admit it. Sometimes I battle with the spirit of loneliness." Anybody here? I'm going to be honest. 70% of us. Come on, that's honest. Yeah. I've been there. You've been there. There's nothing wrong with saying I had that spirit that tries to attack me at times, and I feel that. It tries to get all of us. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to feel lonely, like no one cares. God doesn't see you. He doesn't care about you. And I know it's just the opposite. He's not leaving me. His presence is following me all the days of my life. He's going before me. He's going behind me. He's wanting to bless me. Today, I want you just to saturate yourself in God's presence as we close out with this song. Can we make it personal? As we thank God for his mercy and his presence today.
Mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord.
I invite you, can I just have you raise your hands one more time? I'd like to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you today. In the name of Jesus, I pray that, Father, you're allowing the spirit of loneliness to drop off of every mind, every heart that's trying to attack in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, the people who are suffering with depression, those who are suffering and battling with feeling alone, even though there's a lot of people around them, I pray right now that, Father, in the name of Jesus, your presence begin to be revealed to them fresh and new starting today. That God, there's a new level of sensitivity to your presence. God, they're going to sense that God, you are with them. God, you are going before them. You are behind them. God, you are blessing them. And we reject spirits of isolation. We reject spirits of feeling alone. And we say we're going to engage in God's purpose. We're going to engage in the purpose of the Lord. And Father, I pray right now that spirit is rebuked. And Father, I pray your presence is flooding this room this morning. You're flooding every heart and every mind this morning. God, you're setting people free in the name of Jesus today. We say yes. We say yes and amen. If you received that today, put your hands together one more time. Say, "God, I received that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Lean into his presence. Lean into his presence. Connect with God's people. Tonight at 6 o'clock, you got a good chance to do that. Come out, connect with people. Be at the church picnic at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a great time. Let's engage in his purpose. Let's serve. Let's serve. Let's teach our families to serve. In Jesus' name we say amen. God bless you. We're so glad you guys are here. We love you.